few years back, I visited the Basilica of the Assumption of Mary in Covington, Kentucky. And it's a beautiful church, and it's, you know, only about 2 hours and change away from here. But one of the most impressive things about the church is the stained glass windows. The basilica actually has the largest stained glass window in any church in the entire world. And it's a window that depicts the Council of Ephesus. And the window, it's 67 feet tall and 24 feet wide. It's a huge window. But what's significant about the Council of Ephesus is that's where Mary was declared to be the Mother of God. So our feast day that we celebrate today, and the title of Mary being the Mother of God, is a very ancient title for the Blessed Virgin, officially defined in the year 431 at the Council of Ephesus. At the time, one of the heresies that the church was facing was called Nestorianism. And it denied that Jesus Christ was both truly God and truly man in one person. And so the title Mother of God had, in part, was about the Blessed Virgin Mary, but it was in part a lot about Jesus Christ and about the reality that he is truly God and truly man in one person. So the question was, who was Mary the mother of? You know, if Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man, that means Mary is the mother of God. And so there's two realities. One is the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he's truly God and he existed from all eternity. And the other is that he's truly human. And he took his human nature from Mary, from his mother. So his DNA came from her. You know, his features probably resembled Mary. You know, just as children look like their parents. You know, Jesus' eyes, his facial features probably resembled the Blessed Virgin Mary. And since, you know, he was raised within the Holy Family, you know, a lot of his habits, a lot of his mannerisms would have been things that he picked up from his own mother. And so when we reflect upon the motherhood of Mary, it really helps to reinforce and help us to understand more deeply the humanity of Jesus Christ. And God didn't have to work out the plan of salvation this way. You know, Jesus didn't need a human mother, but he chose that as part of his plan. In part, I think, because he wanted to reveal to us that he is truly one of us. You know, he is part of the human family. He has a real mother who he was born from. And in our second reading today, St. Paul very briefly says that Jesus was born of woman. And there's a lot to reflect upon there. You know, but as we reflect upon the humanity of Jesus Christ, you know, we often don't think of the human race as being one family. You know, when we see other people, you know, we don't instantly think, oh, I'm related to this person. You know, that's not the first thought that runs through our head as we pass by strangers on the street or as we think about people in other parts of the world. But God does view the human race as one family. You know, we were all descended from Adam and Eve, meaning we're all related to each other. We fell through one sin. The entire human family fell into sin. And we were redeemed by one act on Calvary. And so Jesus, you know, the way God views us is we are one family. And that means that Jesus is part of our family. You know, he was born of woman. We are related to him. He's one of us. And he became one of us so that he could take on our sins and that he could atone for them. And he could transform and elevate human nature. That's why he became one of us and why he took a real human mother. And so reflecting upon Mary as the mother of God can really help to bring us closer to Jesus Christ, to recognize both his true humanity and his true divinity, to help us understand that and experience that more deeply. And so as we begin a new year this year in 2022, you know, it's good to make resolutions. And I think one of the resolutions we should make is this year to make sure that we are drawing closer to Jesus and Mary. Because any year that we do that, regardless of what happens, is a success. Regardless of what trials and what struggles we face, if we grow closer to our Lord and to our Blessed Mother, that year is a success. If we drift further away, then that year is a failure. It doesn't matter what financial successes we have or what vacations we take or what worldly honors we accumulate. If we drift further away from our Lord, then that year is a failure. And so I think a good resolution is for us to place our Lord at the center of this year. You know, my phone reminded me it has this app that pictures pop up from previous years. And a picture came up from 5 years ago. And it reminded me that 5 years ago, to this day, was when we moved the Eucharist from the position at the side of church to the center. And we did a Eucharistic procession on the feast day of Mary, the Mother of God, to bring the Eucharist to the center of church. And we didn't have the high altar yet, but we placed Jesus at the center of our parish. Literally at the center of the church, as a symbol that he should be the center of our lives. And over the past 5 years, you know, the faith has truly flourished. And I've seen the faith and the devotion of so many people grow deeper because we've placed Jesus at the center of our parish. And so we'll have a lot of changes this year. You know, we're going to have changes in our parish and in the archdiocese with the Beacons of Light. And each one of us is going to have different challenges and different struggles that we're going to face personally. But I encourage each one of us, as we begin the new year, to make sure that Jesus and Mary are at the center and that we're growing deeper in our relationship to them. And if we do that, our faith is going to continue to grow and flourish.